15-15 now proudly presents the Wrestling Roundtables, the Raw, the Bad, the Ugly, the weekly podcast where we tell you what we like, didn't like, and we'll just flat out fucking horrendous. It is your favorite tag team partners. I'm in that type of mode today. God. Me, Sterling the Pearl.
It's Miller.
Raw took place in Brooklyn. One of the five boroughs. One of them. Brooklyn. I've never been to New York.
Never?
Never. I need to go one time. Just to visit. I need to go to New York.
New York, New York. City of dreams. Every day in New York ain't always what it seems. No. That's when they knocked down the towers.
Knocking down all the buildings. All the buildings. Yeah. Dog Pound.
Snoop Dogg.
Oh, man, that was the album, too. Dog Food. Yep, Dog Food.
Let's Play House.
Let's play house.
That was the song.
Oh, man.
And What Would You Do? That was my joint, too. What Would You Do?
Yeah.
If that was the song where they dissed Bone Thugs, too.
Yeah.
Because we ain't got no love for these hoes in Harmony. That's what they
said. Jazz and Corrupt. And Corrupt, man. First off, is probably one of the most underrated rappers
ever?
Ever. And especially from that era. Oh, man. Corrupt was so damn dope. And Daz, just a producer, too. Underrated. As somebody who produced.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to go through the whole discography. So, moving on. You got a match to watch for?
I do. It's actually Johnny Gargano against... Almost. That match was really, really good. Mm-hmm. Probably the best match I saw this weekend, because I'm trying to think through all the wrestling that I watch. I would say, yeah, it's probably the best match I saw this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody else has seen it too, so I'm not going to go into detail.
Well, I did see Liberty Bell versus Zoya.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a good match.
All right. I don't know if that falls in the right category, but...
Hey, what are you talking about? It was wrestling.
Well, yeah, but it was on
TV. What? It was on TV?
It was part of a TV.
It was part of a TV. What do you say?
It's part of a TV show.
No, hold on, because you know, any way you try to explain it...
It's not going to work. I don't know how to explain it. It's not part of a wrestling event. There you go.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't. Not a real one. It was part of a fictional wrestling event.
What are you talking about? Wrestling is fictional.
Goddamn. Shut up. I don't want to talk about this no more, man. I don't like this. Try to back me in a corner, man. This is, you know what the hell I mean. And everybody else out there knows what the hell I mean, damn it. You understand? This is bull.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Keep going.
Oh, with what?
Oh, you done?
You ready for news match and rumors? Is that what you said?
No, I thought you wanted to keep explaining that match.
No, just it's a really good match. Well paced. The chemistry was ridiculous, especially for them not really facing each other that much. From what I know, the whole story of the match was dope, and they both came out looking good.
Yeah, and I called it. I said Andrade will win. It made sense. And all the while, you still keeping that story and building that story for Gargano to go against Ciampa at one point, and did you see him trolling?
I did.
Yeah. He was trolling with the, what was the glorious bomb?
Yeah.
And then he was showing when he turned on Gargano. That was pretty good.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. Keep it all kayfabe. Anyway, news and rumors.
So, and I was actually reading more about it now. Minoru Suzuki, probably one of the forefathers of MMA, is going to be returning to the United States and wrestling for ROH in September for the Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view and the tapings on the 22nd and 24th, or 23rd. It's been 25 years since he's been in the United States, so it's going to be dope. I wish I could be in Las Vegas for this.
You could.
I could actually catch a plane and... just fly
catch
right
a
back.
Flight.
Catch a flight. I see what you did there.
See?
I could catch a flight and go over there. We'll see. Maybe if there's something reasonable. But tickets sell out so fast that Kind of like with this Kenny Omega. Good God. Anyway.
Because you didn't need to pack anything.
No.
You, you hop your ass on that plane.
I put on a wrestling shirt and some shorts and get on that plane. And then as soon as the show's over, go right to the airport.
Yep. Because honestly, you can get on Hotwire. I'm telling you, you can catch some, get some cheap flights on there.
Don't test me.
Yeah.
I will make a day out of it. Okay. Moving on. Eli Drake, one of the TNA's own products, won the Global Force Wrestling Championship from in a gauntlet match. And in that gauntlet match, you had like Low Key, Mike Adonis, I believe, or Adam Adonis. But the cool thing here is that Eli Drake is a homegrown talent, and they put the belt on him after stripping Alberto El Patron. God, I hate calling him that. But it's interesting to see where they go from here. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but based on the people that they've signed, I want to see how long he keeps the belt. However, I've been told in real life, Eli Drake is kind of a pompous asshole. So we'll see what happens. Moving on, the Destruction Tour for New Japan Pro Wrestling announced their top four matches for the four shows taking place during that tour. In those matches, you have Michael Elgin getting a shot at the NEVER Openweight Championship going against Minoru Suzuki. So that should be a slobber knocker. Zack Sabre Jr., because he's defeated Tanahashi twice now, is going to get a shot at the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. Ishii, because he beat Naito, is actually getting a shot at the briefcase that they use to show that he has the contract for the title match at Wrestle Kingdom in January. And last but not least, Kenny Omega defends the IWGP United States title against Juice Robinson because Juice beat him in the G1. I really like how they take the matches, like the wins and losses in the G1, and use that to do booking going forward. I think that's just a dope concept.
Yeah.
Especially for whoever wins the title match at Wrestle Kingdom, the fact that he has to defend that briefcase or that contract against the people who beat him, I think is so dope.
Yeah.
And I'm still waiting for the day that somebody beats that person to get that contract, because that's going to be dope. It's going to happen one day, but it hasn't yet. Rusev is in negotiations for his release from WWE, which you may have noticed when he got squashed by Randy Orton. So we'll see. There's not really a lot about what led up to that, so I guess we'll find out more. But
I tell you what led up to that.
It has to do with probably the way he used. Yeah.
I can tell you exactly what happened. But I mean, exactly
he's been booked for so bad for so long. Is that the case, or is it something that happened where he was like, enough is enough?
Yeah. It's just, look, when you can't even get booked properly on SmackDown, when that's supposed to be the land of opportunity, and you see Jinder Mahal even holding the title, and not saying that Jinder Mahal didn't deserve it. I know a lot of people feel opposite. That's your opinion. And you know, I won't necessarily disagree with you, but I think Jinder Mahal worked hard to get to where, especially with his body, and to get to where he's at. But why not Rusev? This was the time where I thought we was going to see Rusev with the title, and yet we have not seen him with the title. But now it makes you question, is SmackDown the land of opportunity? Or is it just something that, one, Jinder got it because of how they want to promote and build in India. So let's put the title on him, even though he's fucking Canadian. It's just that he has that, but then you see Bray Wyatt, he gets the title, but then it gets taken off of him. Just like that. I mean, the people that you thought really was going to be able to thrive and really be able to benefit off of this stuff just really hasn't happened really at all. Because once again, you had Randy Orton wearing the fucking title for whatever reason. He didn't need it, but he had the title. And he had a decent little run with it. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why. Yeah. But anyway. So, is SmackDown the land of opportunity, or is it not?
It depends on who you are.
Yeah. So then it's not. Anyway.
Asuka is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with a shoulder injury. Hold on,
before we get there, because I want to end that. I want to end with Asuka and Big Cass. Okay. No, because I want to talk about it. That's
why. Oh, okay. The Young Bucks and Adam Page won the 6-man championship in Edinburgh, Scotland. Mm-hmm. This weekend, part of the ROH War World shows with Rev Pro. So that's kind of cool. I want to see where that goes. And then, not last but not least, but Tyrus and Bobby Lashley both announced that they are done with Global Force Wrestling.
Yep.
This past week. So, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Another one bites the dust.
I assume that was going to happen. Don't be surprised if Bobby Lashley decides that at one point he joins WWE again. Just probably on a part-time. I don't want to see that, but probably on a part-time. Because, you know, he wants to... Because he would have a following if he come to WWE.
He would, but...
But he wants to do MMA.
Right, so it's going to be after whatever fights.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, but if he blows up, though...
Yeah.
Like, let's say he... Because I think part of this is the UFC's looking at him like, okay...
They need a name.
They need a heavyweight.
Yeah.
But look at it like this. This dude, so Bobby Lashley, if I'm not wrong, I want to say he's like 7-2. And it might even be one loss. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
You got Bobby Lashley. If I'm about to do Brock Lesnar and Jones, I got Bobby Lashley fighting somebody, you know, on the low. Maybe not the biggest heavyweight or whatever, you know. And then I'm looking at it like I could either have Bobby Lashley versus Bones, right? Yeah, Bobby Lashley versus Lesnar. Either way it goes, that's money. You feel me?
Right.
So I think that's the thought process behind him. Let me do this UFC thing first.
15 wins, 2 losses.
That's incredible.
5 KOs, 7 submissions, 3 decisions.
Incredible.
Yep.
He's legit. Damn. Like, he's a legit dude.
I didn't realize he was that old. He's 41.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I don't know about all that. Because depending on how well he does in MMA... When he comes back to WWE, it's probably be like a one-off.
Guess where he's from?
He's not from Chicago, is he?
Aurora.
Get the... I will punch him in the nose. I was about to be like, what in the... There's Colorado. No Colorado. Way, bro.
Colorado. There ain't no way he would have got past us.
Not past us.
Yeah. Anyway. Right. Paige, she got cleared of all domestic violence charges at the airport. So, whatever. Flair still has a long road to go. Prayer's still going out for him. And then, obviously, Colin Cassidy got hurt.
Legit.
Legit hurt. I watched it over. And I seen how it ended up happening. I did see it. Look.
Y'all better stop challenging me when I give y'all news. I got sources. You act like I'm doing this for fun. Don't challenge me.
No, fuck that, man. I didn't want to get geeked about it. And look, I know people are like, damn, you wish that motherfucker got hurt. Hell yeah, I wish that motherfucker got hurt.
Damn, man.
Man, it was good for the everybody. Everybody. I'm talking about the people watching this shit. For him. For Enzo. This is great news. I'm just saying. I mean, sometimes you just gotta see the light when you had a dark moment. And this was a dark moment for him. Do I really wish that he got hurt? No. But you've been putting a program that was so god awful. So god awful that I just lost all respect for you. But that's WWE's fault. So now we can hit the reset button on Big Cass. We can just hit reset. We don't have to go through this dude beating the shit out of Enzo week in and week out. I don't have to see this shit on no pay-per-view. I don't have to see this shit on a Monday. So for me, that's great. For Colin Cassidy, it's better because now they can do something else with you. And hopefully, somebody, Triple H, show him some tape of The Undertaker. Say, hey, look, kind of steal this. As you're doing your rehabs and you're recovering, learn how to do these moves. That's what I want to see. Somebody needs to get in this air and say, hey, this is how you're going to get over. Mm-hmm. Because when people actually see you in the ring wrestling and shit like that, and you want to have a long-term career in the WWE, this is what you need to do. Enzo, I don't have to see him get his ass whooped
every
week. And hopefully this does something else for him where he can actually go and wrestle. And when he cuts a promo that sounds like he the hardest dude in the world, I can actually try to believe it. So it's great for everybody involved, even though it's a fucked up thing. So that's the reason why I'm like, nope, I don't want to get geeked. I don't want you telling me that this dude got hurt and then this shit really ain't happened because they want to pull some kayfabe and then...
Kayfabe is dead.
Yeah, because, look, I wouldn't put it past... It's not like it's beyond WWE to feed fake news.
You're fake news.
Right. Yeah. It's not above them to feed fake news to wrestling outlets. Okay. So, I just wanted to make sure that this is going down.
He wants to be sure he can trust it.
Right. So, it's just some type of knee injury, obviously, because we've seen him clutching at the knee and whatever. No official
word
kind of knee injury. How long he's going to be out. But we also got Oscar out with a shoulder injury, 6 to 8 weeks. This is another one of those things where... There's actually sad news, but still light at the end of this tunnel. We're going to miss her for 6 to 8 weeks. But this is a way for WWE, well, NXT now, where she can drop the title without... No, because she's going to the main roster, dude.
I know that, but
now she's just going to have to drop the title there. I mean, she's not going to drop it in a match.
That's what I see. I don't like that. But you did this before with Paige. We don't know. Keep the lineage of the title going, man.
She ain't gonna have no choice but to drop it now.
6 to 8. So what if it's 6 to 8 weeks? Like, here's my thing. Yeah, I'm just being honest. Listen,
isn't the draft coming up soon? Are they still doing the draft?
Yeah, they're gonna do not a draft. It's a shakeup.
Fucking shakeup. What?
It's not like she can't do both. Like, nobody ever did both. Here's my thing. Okay. You did it with Paige, and the way you were able to kind of salvage it, for me personally, was because your thought process was, well, she can't hold the Women's Championship and NXT Championship at the same time. Okay, fine. Whatever. If that's what you want to do, that's cool. But you cannot do the same thing over again. You have to... I can't... Okay. Let me say this.
Because storylines don't get recycled.
No, I'm not saying they don't get recycled, but here's my issue. I'm not going to take whoever wins the belt.
You're just not a fan of it.
No, because whoever wins the belt in the tournament or whatever they decide to do to put it on somebody else, if they were to have her forfeit, I can't take you seriously. You didn't beat Asuka. I don't give a damn. So to me, you're a pseudo champion. You're interim champion. Mm-hmm. Why would you book yourself into that kind of corner? Because I'm not the only one who feels that way.
That's where the long-term booking comes in at.
But they don't long-term book, so stop pretending. Stop pretending like this thing exists that they do when you know they don't do it, Sterl. Stop.
So you're just not a fan. So you got blinders on.
I don't have blinders on. I have realism on. Sterl, when's the last time they long-term book? Go ahead. I'll wait.
When CM Punk did it for them.
What?
When he wrote 13 weeks of wrestling
that they'll never use. So try again.
They did use it. The Straight Edge Society?
Okay.
Against Rey Mysterio?
Okay.
They used that.
One. Right. So, like I said, they're not going to long-term book. They're not going to bring this back to, you know, Ember Moon couldn't beat Asuka. So, the whole time Ember or whoever they choose to put the belt on, I'm going to be sitting up there like, you didn't beat Asuka. The only way they could fix that for me if they did that was to have Asuka come back for injury and then just lose. That's the only way. So, either way it goes... She has to lose whoever the champion is. Otherwise, you're a fake champion. Fake news. Fake champion. I don't care. Like, it's not real to me.
You're such a hater.
I'm not a hater. I'm a realist. You can't. Oh, if you didn't beat Asuka, you're not the champion, bro. You got to beat the champion.
Nah, that's not always true.
It's not?
Okay. Seth Rollins No, not Seth Rollins, but who held the title first after what's name lost it? I mean, after Finn Balor had the
Kevin Owens had it forever.
Right.
Right.
So he was just never the you just never considered him the universal.
We could go back on podcast, and I said
no, that's not my several point.
Times.
On,
no, but I said several point. Times. I don't take until he beats Finn Balor. His title reign is incomplete. I've said that several times, and his title reign still in my head is incomplete.
Nah, man.
You gotta beat the dude who had the belt. Nobody beat him. Beat him, then I'll take you for real.
Nah.
Okay. Nah. That's cool. I said how I feel. Titles are important.
You know what, man?
That's how I feel.
Took your asshole. Fuck off my podcast. Shit.
You mad,
nobody,
bro?
Nobody give a fuck about how you feel.
I'm like, do you like camera? Do you like camera? That's how you feel? You mad, bro? You mad? Oh, you mad? But like in all seriousness, I can see them doing that. And, you know, it is what it is. A lot of people seem okay with that, and that's cool. It's just my personal opinion is I don't like when it's unfinished and the person who is the champion, especially on a 500-day reign, and she ain't going to lose to the person who's the next champion, but I'm supposed to take you seriously as a champion? Mm-hmm. I can't. I just can't.
No, I can't. I can take you seriously as a champion because I still know the Ember Moon is the shit.
Of course.
So, I mean, I would just...
I will troll the shit out of whoever the champion is every time. I'll be like, Asuka, Asuka. Every show I went to, I tried to start a chant.
No, you wouldn't. You have more respect for the show than that.
You think I wouldn't?
No.
I have enough respect for this show. Enough to know that whoever the champion is needs to beat Asuka. That's how much respect I got.
Yeah, okay.
Even if they lose dirt, like even if she loses, you know, by heel tactics, she's got to lose to whoever the next champion is. I cannot take you seriously. I just can't.
Oh, man, look. Fuck you.
Okay.
It's this same person that depends on KD going to Golden State and shit. Fuck you. Hey, he's still a champion. Oh, but he went to a 73-19 and won the fucking championship. And you defend that shit. Yeah. But then now they're not a champion because they didn't beat the champion?
No, I didn't say they're not a champion.
No, fuck that. What? No. You can't respect it.
Okay, there we go.
But you respect KD?
This is a whole different ballgame,
man. Fuck you. Hell no. This dude went to a 73-19, and you respect that man because he still went there and won.
Was
right?
He a free agent?
So what? But he still went there and won, right? Did he not go there and win?
Yes.
Right, and you still have respect for him. Okay.
Yes, because he beat the guys who were the champion last time.
But he went to a 73-19. 73-9.
Did he still have to put the basket in the hoop? Or did he just walk out there and they gave it to him?
So does Ember Moon still have to go in the ring and wrestle?
Yeah.
And beat whoever else is in front of her?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So she's still the champion. But she's not going to be the best champion ever because I'm going to be like, you never beat Asuka. Fuck you.
Okay. So what?
That's what we're talking about,
aren't we? John Cena is never going to beat Ric Flair in his prime.
Which is why he'll never be better than Ric Flair. Keep going. What do you want?
But that doesn't make him not a champion, though, is what I'm saying.
Of course. I never said they weren't a champion. I said I just don't take you seriously.
Fuck.
There's a difference. I don't understand.
So, CM Punk never wrestled Ric Flair. You not take him seriously, even though he's a champion?
Ric Flair didn't...
Oh, but he's the GOAT, though. Oh, you ain't going to respect me because I ain't never beat the GOAT?
You're not better than... If he ever said I'm better than Ric Flair, I'd be like, you're a lie.
That would be.
Right, exactly. That's all I'm saying. Like, my thing is, so in the end of the day, NXT is supposed to be the future. You're not the future if you didn't beat the current person, the present. You just that.
No,
okay,
man,
fine.
No.
It's cool. My opinion. When I have my own wrestling promotion, I'll book it the way I want to book it.
No, because they still gonna, it's not over. It's not like they're not going to have their due. It's not like it's never going to happen.
Okay, so I reserve my judgment then. If they do strip her of the title and do some kind of tournament thing, I reserve my judgment for that person's reign up until I know that they are not defending this belt against Asuka. And once I know that, I will have my... So I'll take that back. I won't say I won't take them seriously. As I won't take them if they don't at some point in their reign defend the title against Asuka, I will not take them serious. How about that? There you go.
Man, look. We see this shit in boxing sometimes. Sometimes you win the title. And then sometimes you just gotta legitimize yourself when you end up wrestling that. When you end up boxing that person, finally. Because that person was stripped. Even with Daniel Cormier. He knew it. In order for me to legitimize myself, I have to beat John Bones.
Thank you! What you just say? No, I'm not.
I never took Cormier as a joke, though. Like you do.
I took him. I didn't take him seriously. You gotta beat John Jones, bro.
No, look.
He
was beating the shit out of John Bones in that fight in the beginning.
Okay.
He didn't get caught.
Who won? Right.
He was beating the shit out of him.
He was.
But I don't have a problem. But look how. All right. Look at the story that was able to be told because of that. Look how great that was. Look at the pay-per-view buys that people end up, because they want to see, can you do it? Will it be legit? Can you do it?
Right. But that's what I'm saying. I don't trust NXT, WWE, whatever you want to call them. You know, I don't trust the booking staff. If Asuka was to go to the main roster.
So it's not necessarily. So then it's not necessarily a bad idea. You got on blinders because you don't trust that WWE is going to be able to, is going to pull it off.
That's
what I'm really trying to get at.
That's cool. Yeah, I don't trust them to be able to be like, okay, even though Asuka's on the main roster now, we need to bring her down to face Ember Moon or whoever the hell they decide to put the belt on. I do not trust them to do that. So then at that point, I'm always going to have this void looking at the women's championship like, you know, Asuka never lost this damn belt. To me, she's the freaking champion. That's how I look at it. That's just me.
Yeah.
Just like in ROH, when Jay Briscoe gave up the belt and Adam Cole won. I was like, yo, and they turned Adam Cole heel. And I'll end with this. They turned him heel, right? And remember, I was all excited. The first thing I said was, now, until he beats Jay Briscoe, I can't. And he beat Jay Briscoe. So I was like, that's that dude.
Yeah.
And Briscoe had the Briscoe belt. And he was like, I'm the champion. Ain't nobody ever beat me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, now, moving on. The Great Debate.
Well, you got to do a quick hit.
I know. I said moving on.
No, I usually forget. I'm trying to help you out,
though. Nah, I was about to say it. I got it right here in my face. Quick hits. Universal Champion Brock Lesnar comes out happy about being able to defend his title and win. Then he gets confronted by Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman proceeds to proceeds to try to chokeslam him. Brock kind of counters, goes to the ropes. Braun hit him with a boot, then a couple of power slams, and that was it. Braun, country strong. Later on, we find out the match is booked. Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman at No Mercy. For the Universal title. And that's where he's going to drop the title at, I think. Next, you got Enzo Amore defeating Big Cass in the Brooklyn Street Fight. To be honest, Big Cass was probably going to win this match. But since he got hurt, Enzo won. Then you got Emma backstage cutting a promo, talking about Nia Jax. And they end up having a match.
What did you call it?
They end up having a squash. Right after that, I think Emma should be the next to ask for a release. I'm not even going to keep explaining what happened. Emma should be the next to ask for a release. All right, then we got Elias Samson defeating R-Truth. We got an Intercontinental Champion, The Miz, and Samoa Joe confronting John Cena and Roman Reigns, Cedric Alexander, Rich Swann, Mustafa Ali, and finally, Grand Metalik.
Yay!
Defeating Noam Dar. Aria Davari, Tony Nese, and Drew Gulak. Is it Gulak or Gulak?
You got it, Gulak.
Okay. Gulak. That sounds like some fucking gruel or some type of food that you ain't supposed to eat. Gulak. Raw Tag Team Champions Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins defeat the Hardy Boys after they come out and challenge them. Alexa Bliss confronted the Raw Women's Champion Sasha Banks and lets her know that, first off, Alexa, we love you, and lets her know that you have not successfully defended that title out of your other title reigns. Then Finn Balor defeats Jason Jordan. Look like they going to pull the reins back a little bit on Jason Jordan. Maybe don't quite believe in him like they thought they should. I don't know. And then we get John Cena and Roman Reigns defeating the Intercontinental Champion, The Miz and Samoa Joe. And that, my friends, was Raw from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn!
Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? Anyway, let's get to it. You're Raw.
My Raw. The Hardys and the Pseudo Shield.
Thank you.
That match was really Thank good.
You. It was. I'm glad you said it, though, because
did somebody say it was trash?
No, because oh. I wanted it to be my Raw, but I was like, he probably going to choose this to be his Raw, and then now I'm going to have to choose this to be my Raw, because I really want to talk about the other. Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked this match. It was way better than I expected, because I felt like yesterday Sunday was pretty brutal. Not brutal, but like enough to where it probably wasn't a good idea for them to defend the belts right away. Because mm-hmm. I thought it was a pretty, you know, physical match against Sheamus and Cesaro. Yeah. But to come out and perform the way that Ambrose and Rollins did was like, I won't say my mind was blown, but I was just like, wow. Okay, and I got a new appreciation for them because that was a really, really good match.
They were professionals.
And they worked, like, the teamwork between the two.
And that's what I mean by them being professionals. Yeah. They were professionals. Like, they've been there before. Yeah. And you got to remember, they never were tag team partners.
Right.
That was Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins.
Six-man matches are totally different than tag matches. Mm-hmm. And the chemistry that Rollins and Ambrose have, I get why they put them back together. Even if, you know, in the long run, you know, like 4 months from now, they're feuding or whatever, I like the fact that they took the chance, put them together, and had them as a team, because I feel like they're a real team. Like, not always you get people put together and it's like, you know, and even when it's old faction members, you know, together, you're like, I don't know about that. Like, you can put Heath Slater with Drew McIntyre and I'd be like, yeah, that's going to work. Because I'd be like, I don't know about that one.
That seems kind of fucking weird.
Right. But in this scenario, you know, I got double kids teams, guy versus... like, that doesn't make sense. So yeah. I really like what they did. I really like them as a team. I'm looking forward to see what they do.
Yeah, that was good. My Raw goes to The Miz.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, his promo was so good.
Collection plate.
Yeah, right. The dude was preaching. And he was preaching so hard. And everything he said was just on point. And it's a shame that he had to later on go and lose and pretty much job to, we'll get into that later, to Cena and Roman Reigns. But man, was his promo good. And he was making great points. It was a shoot. It was a shoot. You know, basically, you guys get the main event all the time. Cena, y'all ass ain't even here.
Right.
Roman Reigns, I don't even know why they allowing you to. The fans don't even like you guys. It's legit heat with both of you. They booed the shit out of y'all.
Both y'all suck. Both of you suck.
Oh, yeah. That shit was hilarious.
I called that, though, the other day with one of my coworkers.
Yeah. And then after his promo and stuff like that, and they get in a fight, and then Cena and Roman Reigns are standing tall. Then they start chanting, both of you suck, both of you suck. That was just hilarious. Yeah, but what's the name's promo? The Miz's promo was just great.
On point.
And if you didn't listen to it, because you skipped past it or whatever, because, you know, sometimes these promos can just be long and drawn out, well, go back and listen to it, because it was good.
Agreed.
Yeah. You're bad.
My bad. Okay, so Finn Balor versus Jason Jordan. It wasn't that it wasn't a good match.
I need to see more striking from Jason Jordan.
I just felt like there was no story to this match. I don't know if you felt like that. Like, what was the purpose other than he wants more competition?
Like, no, it was. And that's when Finn taught him a lesson as to, dude, don't try to shake my hand in the middle of a match.
Okay.
And remember, he tried to do it twice.
Yeah.
Because remember, he did it during the commercial break, and that's why they showed it to you. So that was the story in the match. And then, remember, everything clicked and changed for Jason Jordan at that time.
Okay.
And then, I think the problem was, we didn't see enough striking from Jason Jordan. So we didn't really... So we saw the intensity of him like slamming him down and
grappling. But we knew you could do that because you're huge.
Right.
Like, that's my thing. Like, what... You didn't show me anything different. Like, I feel like if you challenge somebody, you got to come out and I got to be like, oh. Perfect example. And I'm not saying that Jason Jordan's on this level at all. But when Chris Jericho went against Triple H, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, was always the defining moment for Chris Jericho. Because even though he didn't really win the belt in that match, everybody was like, whoa, this fucking guy's legit. Because before, people were kind of like, you know, it's Chris Jericho, but he's like a cruiserweight U.S. champion guy on WCW. I don't know. Going against, the you know, Rock and Triple H. People were very skeptical. I remember. They were like, how's a cruiserweight going? And he came out and busted his ass against Triple H. You were like, whoa. Because me and you probably, I think we talked about it. I think it was you that I called. And I was like, did you see Chris Jericho against Triple H? Because I knew, because Triple H is your guy. Yeah, and I remember I called you.
I was a Triple H guy.
We had to be like 16, maybe, and I remember I called you.
I remember we argued about Triple H and Triple H and The Rock.
Yep.
And you were so pissed when Triple H beat The Rock for the title.
Yep.
Oh, you were so pissed.
I was like, why this guy? I was wrong about Triple H. But that's what I mean. Like, to me, that, because Finn Balor, to me, is up there.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those, the best in the world. So, in this match, I needed to see you try a moonsault. Like, you had to dig in the bag, even if you were going to lose. I needed to see that from you, and I feel like I didn't get that.
Yeah.
It was a good match, but when you say I'm challenging Finn Balor, I want it to be great. Like, I want it to be where everybody's like, whoa!
And you need to separate yourself from,
Kurt?
No.
Chad
Gable.
Okay.
Because you have the same wrestling style. So, in that match against AJ Styles, it worked for Gable.
Right.
And everything.
But that's because, but why did we all freak out? Because we saw stuff we never saw from him. Yeah. We're like, whoa!
Yeah.
This dude is going, he's...
I think you've seen a little more striking. I mean, but I think the styles were similar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they tried to give Jason Jordan that chance against Finn Balor. And I think he missed that opportunity.
I mean, he's going to get more. But I think time he challenges somebody...
WWE. Yeah. Sometimes they give you one chance and that's it.
Yeah, but to them, this match was exceptional. That's the thing. Like, to them, this was a really good match.
I hope so. It was exceptional.
It was.
It wasn't awful. It was a pretty exceptional
match. It wasn't
match.
Enough for what but, the story was supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
Yeah, it didn't really tell the story how you thought it should have been told. And our opinions matter because we are the fans watching this shit.
And paying for it.
Right.
Well, make me take my $10 back.
Which sometimes WWE, I think some of the wrestlers just don't get that at times. Even just pro athletes, period. They feel like that we just, oh, you don't understand. Right. I do understand because I know, like, for instance, football. I understand because I know football. I know when you let a motherfucker score on you. That's a problem.
It's a problem.
I know it's a problem because you just let this motherfucker score on you. And sometimes you don't even have to be a genius about it. I don't think that's supposed to happen. I think you're supposed to actually play defense.
You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to be over there.
Mm-hmm. Like when we talk about this play all the time, and I always blame Brandon Marshall for this loss. I know you always blame Chris Conte, but us being Bears fans, what year was that? 2014,
mm-hmm.
I think. Maybe been 2013. Whenever, it might have been the year we got Brandon Marshall or the year after we got Brandon Marshall. Going against Green Bay. And I always blame Brandon Marshall for this loss and want this out there to the public. That year, the Bears defense was historically bad. Historically bad for our organization, because we're not used to even seeing defense like that played at all. And then just historically bad. And Brandon Marshall could have sealed the game with a catch right over the middle. Just all you have to do is haul it in. Jay Cutler put it right there for you, and you dropped it. So then now what happens? We got to give the ball back to the Green Bay Packers, whom they have Aaron Rodgers, even though I say fuck him, but I still can't deny his skill level.
Mm-hmm.
The motherfucker's a great quarterback.
I still hate him.
Yeah, still fuck him. You know what I mean? And then, just as you think the Bears about to pull it out, like, oh man, shit, they about to stop him. What happens? Chris Conte comes up. Randall Cobb goes past him. Wide open touchdown. I know that play ain't supposed to happen. I know it ain't supposed to happen like that. I know Chris Conte ain't supposed to just be there. Damn near on the line of scrimmage why this motherfucker's going past him.
You're in the wrong spot!
And he's the safety. I know there's a problem there. I maybe not know all the nuances. Maybe the defensive coordinator thought it was a different play and told him, like, play up. And then that's what happened. And they fooled him. But wherever the case may be, I know that Brandon Marshall should never put it back in the defensive's hand to win that game. It's just what it is. Brandon Marshall makes the catch. They can run the timeout. The game is over.
It's true.
So, I'm going to move on from that. Yeah, it should. Yeah, but my bad. My bad is the Miz having to take the pin. My bad is not only that the Miz have to take the pin. The fact that Samoa Joe and the Miz lost. Period. Because if you're gonna have Roman Reigns accidentally hit John Cena with the Superman punch, that should have been the reason why they lost. Because the Miz should have been able to capitalize, hit him with the skull crushing finale, and won the match. That's just how it should have been. Why? Because the Miz should not lose as the only champion in the fucking ring. Like, he's not the champion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you devalue
your
championship. Because you're saying that, yeah, even though you're the IC champion, we really don't value you. Which is part of his promo. You don't value me. And I've been doing this shit 12 years, day in and day out. I've been here. And so, you don't value me that much to the point where I'm the one who have to take the pin falls because you don't want Samoa Joe, John Cena, or Roman Reigns to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I am your IC champion. I'm the only champion in this fucking ring, and I'm the one who got to take the pin? Like, that's just silly as shit to me. John Cena should have took that pin. That's just what it should have been. Or if you wanted to have it where Cena accidentally hit Roman Reigns, Roman Reigns should have took that pin. I don't give a shit which one of them should have took that pin, but one of them should have took that pin. Because now you're building the storyline between these two having a match. I already got to see these fuckboys on my damn TV, both on the same show and shit. That pisses me off. But at least if you're going to do it, I wanted to see good storyline being presented to me. You had it right there. Roman Reigns accidentally hit him with a Superman punch and shit. So now Cena is pissed off. I get to see a different side of Cena. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, you hit me and shit? Like, you wasn't careful in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, now we get to tell a story. And I can sit there, and I might have to actually admit that I like the storyline between Roman Reigns and John Cena. I might actually have to admit that shit. But you didn't even give me a chance to even get there. Because you said that even though you was putting the Coquita clutch and was going to sleep, and then you got hit with a Superman punch, you still was able to just get up and hit an AA like it was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So then not only did you devalue your champion, you devalued the moves that were being put on you. So that's why that shit was my bad. But the match was decent, because I would give Cena this credit. When the beach ball was being thrown around and shit, he played it up. And then allowed what's name to hit him and shit. Like, Samoa Joe used that as a distraction and was beating him up. And then it was another time where they was doing the wave. Cena played it up and allowed that distraction for The Miz. And he did it. He did it like it was almost on purpose that they set this up with the crowd. And so he can just easily be distracted and everything. So I do got to give Cena his just due and playing that out and actually making it seamless and everything. But anyway, you're ugly.
My ugly is the Brooklyn Cloud. Brooklyn Crowd, sorry. Mm-hmm. It's one thing when, you know, you're into the show. And there are points where they weren't obnoxious. But 75% of the time, they were just overly obnoxious. Like, booing a really good cruiserweight eight-man tag match. Like, it was decent. It wasn't bad. You know, they booed that. They, you know, beach ball again. It's just, why do you have to constantly? I don't like crowds who put themselves over. Like, if you become part of the show by chanting and cheering and things of that nature, that's cool. When you start doing the wave during matches and beach balls, and yeah, there's a point where I need to be entertained, but then there's a point where you're just being an ass.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt. I felt like after a while, like I even felt that at SummerSlam. Like, that was a good-ass match with Sheamus and Cesaro against Rollins and Ambrose.
Yeah, but not at first, though. Huh? Not at first.
It's got to get there, though. You got to have a point to get there. Like,
nah, it was on for a while.
It was starting to get to that point. Like, it started to build. Okay, and that's fine. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, Cesaro tore up the beach ball. It's dead. No more of the beach ball. It's over now. Give it up. Stop it.
I love that, though.
Yeah, I love that. Because my thing is, like... And maybe I'm partial because I know wrestlers, but the crowd is as much a part of a match as the wrestlers are. And I get that the wrestlers have to entertain, but at the same time, they feed off the energy you give. If you ain't giving shit and you're all about you and doing the wave, guess what's going to happen in the ring? You ain't going to get shit. So if you want more, be part of it. What great match have you ever watched and been like, man, but that crowd sucked? Never happened in the history of wrestling. Have you seen a great match where the crowd sucked? Name one.
Tulsa.
It was a great match. No, I mean, there was a great match. Like, you were like, this match is amazing. What match was that?
Hold on, I got to go back to the archives. Because you gave them that ugly. Okay. Because.
Did I?
Yeah.
Because it was a great. Okay, but.
Because they were just dead.
But let's look at great. Let's just look at it as a whole, though. For the most part, though, most of the time, when there's a really, really great match, it's a great crowd.
No. Don't sit there and go there now. You told me just say one.
Okay, that's fine. But my point is, most of the time, okay? Most of the time. I'll even say 80% of the time. How about that? Because I can't name every match that was a 5-star, 4-star match.
5-star.
80% of the time, if the crowd is good and into it and turn, then the wrestlers in turn give you that. And I just felt like Brooklyn, I love y'all, but you guys were just way more about yourself than you were the show. And that bugged me.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also a testament to how they feel about John Cena and Roman Reigns.
Well, that was part of it. That was part of the story, so I don't mind that.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, though. I mean, just message.
Message?
That's all I'm saying. Maybe I don't have a problem with these things because it's like, message. Like, WWE, can you fuck around and just get this message already? Like, just open up the fucking mailbox. I'm tired of seeing all this fucking mail just sticking out. Start deleting shit. Check your voicemails. Something. Like, I bet you right now you can call WWE their voicemail full. But they just not getting the messages that the crowd is sending out to them. We're sending the messages. That's why you're getting shit like this happening. I'm just saying. But not that I disagree with you. I understand your frustration. It's just that there's a message being sent. And WWE just needs to stop ignoring that shit. But my ugly. Because I'm not just going to simply ignore it because Big Cass got hurt. But the fucking Brooklyn street fight.
Pretend like it didn't happen, man. Come on.
No, fuck you. Hell no. I'm not going to pretend this shit just... I'm not going to wipe this away. I mean, I'm going to forget it down the line. Maybe not. This shit was just god awful. And it's like, once again, you got Enzo Amore cutting a fucking monologue. And then he go against the weapons. And then as soon as he comes down the damn ramp with the weapons, he gets booted. Just booted. Just once again, it's the same fucking thing. All he does is stick his big ass foot out there and you get hurt. I mean, and then you go down. And then he beats your ass all across the damn fucking arena and shit. You amount little to no offense. And you got lucky and beat him because he actually hurt himself. And shit. And so, it was like, once again, I gotta see Big Cass and Enzo Amore in a match. And the way you booked it is you never, ever, at any point, gave us hope that Enzo may pull it out. See, it's one thing when you sit there and you book these matches and they were in a feud, which, quote unquote, feud, because it's not a feud because you're getting your ass whooped the whole time. It's one thing where you sit there and you actually have them have matches where they actually wrestle each other and shit. And then Big Cass, because he's just big, always is coming out on top.
Mm-hmm.
But at least we had that hope that Enzo may pull us out. He just may pull us out. You never done that whatsoever. So you don't know how much you take away from the fans at enjoying a match between these two. And so then, in turn, you hurt Big Cass. In turn, you hurt Enzo. Because as soon as they hit my TV, I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom and take a shit. That's just what I gotta do right now. I might as well handle it right now because this is not about to be entertaining. Because you know you're gonna get a monologue from Enzo. And I think we would be less annoyed if he was actually winning or doing something or backing up the words that he's saying. But you know you're finna get this long ass monologue and you're like, you're talking all this shit, but you're just about to get your ass whooped. It's like your little brother or something talking shit to you. And it's like, dude, you know I'm just gonna beat your ass. Like, I don't even know why you talking all this big stuff. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just going to kick your ass.
It's kind of pointless.
Right. And so, it's like he never was close in any of these matches. Even in this match where Cass got hurt, you were never close to ever winning this match. And so, as long as you keep giving me bullshit like this, I got to make it ugly. I don't care who got hurt. I don't care if his damn leg came off and shit, and we had to see a damn fucking limb just sitting there. I'm still going to sit there and tell you that this shit was ugly. And I might even be heartless to say that's what the fuck you get, because shit, we shouldn't have been watching that anyway. In my head, I'm not going to lie, at one point, I was a little insensitive. I was like, no, that motherfucker deserve to get hurt. That's what y'all get for putting this bullshit on TV. Y'all deserve that shit. Dude, because I was so upset at the moment that this shit was happening. I was so upset in that moment. I was like, no, I don't subscribe to this shit whatsoever. And I think that's when I actually turned off the TV. Well, I didn't turn off the TV. That's when I turned off Raw for a period of time. And I started watching The Defenders, and then I fell asleep. Because I was just like, fuck this shit. I checked out.
That's how you feel?
Yeah, I checked out. But anyway. With that said. Moving on. Because, first off. That's it for our Raw, Bad, and Ugly. But, oh my God. See, JR, my son is in here listening to the podcast, and he over here like that. And then he wanted me to show me some stuff. So, looked like Cromier is going to be your champion again. Because this fucking John Bones Jones failed another drug test.
Come on, man. All right, let's talk about something different, dog.
All right.
Don't tell me stuff like that, dog.
Moving on.
I'm done.
First off, Dana Brooke apologized because we should have did this in the beginning of the show. Condolences.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Lost her boyfriend today. Don't know.
I was trying to wait to see what it was from.
Before. Official, yeah, officially. Don't know from what, but that's kind of, man, it's crazy because she just posted, like, Man Crush Monday, because I follow her on Instagram, he's Nae. She just posted, like, Man Crush Monday and stuff like that with a picture of him and her. It's like, damn, man, that's crazy. It's just like, it just kind of, it's like a reminder that you can be here one day and then the next day just a wrap, yo. But anyway, my condolences go out to Dana Brooke and stuff. With that said, though, did you watch Glow all the way through? All right. We had the last three episodes. I can't remember what they were called. Do you remember what they were called?
I remember. Well, I watched 7, 8, 9, and 10.
7, 8, 9, 10. Those were the last three episodes.
Last four. That'd be four. So 7, 8, 9, 10?
Oh, 7, 8, 9, 10. My fault. My bad.
My favorite episode was the live studio audiences, that one. Only because when Don and Stacey came out looking like the KKK.
Oh, yeah.
I was rolling. I was like, no. Who let them do this? I felt like I was watching a real wrestling show that just went awry. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God.
Yeah, dude, look. But you know what? It was, I liked the fact that they kind of stood up like, damn, like, why we got to be these stereotypes, but then they just get to be an old woman. So let's tell them, hey, won't y'all do this? But the crowd actually ate it up.
Yeah.
They loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody likes seeing KKK get beat up, I guess. Can I say that?
Yeah. I think you can. Why can't you?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
I don't want to offend any KKK members. But then again, why would they be listening to our podcast?
Yeah.
Why do they wear Jordans? I don't get it. What part of the game was that?
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm thinking this guy. No, I don't really remember that episode like that.
No.
Though. I remember that. But
I mean, other than that, that was my favorite part. That was where, like, Sam discovers the camera and all that. You
know, oh, yeah. Then his daughter. Well, my fault. But, yeah, she stole the camera, tried to get the girl. What was the girl he messing with?
I can't remember her name either.
Damn, yeah.
Is it Carmen? No.
Yeah, but anyway, he was messing with her, and then she tried to get her fired. Yeah. Yeah, it was actually a pretty good episode. And then that's when Mark came back.
Yep.
And then Debbie kind of like stalled out and then ended up leaving before her match or whatever with Ruth because Mark showed up and he was mad. You know, this is what you've been doing all your time. And
I've been wrestling, damn it.
And then served her like some divorce papers.
Yeah, the divorce papers.
Yeah.
You didn't get them papers?
Yeah. But yeah.
All right. Moving on.
I still don't like Mark. He's a
damn
asshole.
That's how you feel.
Yep. And then the next episode was Maybe It's All the Disco. What'd you think of this episode, though? Sheila was just weird. This is when Jenny...
this felt like a dramedy, dude, episode.
Yeah, this is when Jenny threw the birthday party for Sheila.
Mm-hmm. And then they were talking about the abortions and stuff. Man, I was like, oh my God. Yeah, I was like, what the hell is going on? I wasn't ready for that.
The crazy thing is, why did they wait to this episode to do that?
That's what I said.
I felt like that should have came been earlier. Like, Ruth is pregnant or whatever. And then she went and got the... And then Sam had me dying when they went to go get the divorce. I mean, not divorce, but the abortion and everything. And he was talking about how He was too lazy to pull out, but they don't like kids, so they want to kill it. I said, damn.
I said, what is this? Like, this episode has gone off the rails, man. I can't. The roller disco stuff was funny, though.
I like that.
That was cool.
Yeah.
One thing that this show has brought out in me is a new appreciation for being an 80s baby. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I remember that. Like, that's the one thing I get a lot during watching it. I'll be like, oh, I remember that. I remember when people used to dress like that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when wrestling used to be like that. Like, you think about all that kind of stuff.
No, I thought we were going to get more 80s music, though.
Nah, I'm not surprised. You know how hard it is to license that junk, bro?
It's Netflix, though. They got the money.
Actually, they don't. You heard about how much in debt they are?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
They need to stop doing those DVDs. That's
what I said. You gotta stop that. You don't need to do that no more.
Yeah,
what? When's the last time you rented a damn DVD?
Right. Shit. The fuck I do that for when I just stream shit?
Kids don't even know what Blockbuster is.
And I think that's what they need. They need to start offering more content through streaming versus trying to get me to still do their damn DVDs.
You know who's got a cable service now?
Oh, dude.
$40.
Wow. It's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Yeah.
About to cut the cord soon.
Shit, I was thinking about going to Sling. Shit.
Dude, I like Sling. Cloud DVD. Or DVR, I mean.
Yeah, right. They got a cloud DVR.
And you get Access TV if you get the orange package, just so you know.
Yeah.
$70.
Right, because I was doing the, what's the name? Because if you do, because it's a la carte.
Mm-hmm.
And you do some of the packages. And then some of them, when you add the packages on or whatever, because I think it was less than 70. For the channels, I would have wanted.
Right. You get these different packages they have that go across the board. It's
right.
Crazy, man.
But the package I would have wanted, I think it would have been like $708 a year. There's no tax. It's not. If I pay $19.99, I'm paying $19.99. I ain't got to worry about all these other fees and all this other bullshit.
Yep.
Yep. I think I'm going to go the road of cutting the cord.
I don't myself. Believe.
Just got to do it. Anyway, moving on. Then we got the liberal chokehold, because I believe we were supposed to do Money's in the Chase next week.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
good. I want to,
because we were supposed to do
7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
Okay.
For whatever reason, I thought we were supposed to do 8, 9, 10.
It's all right.
I'm kind of mad because I watched the last episode.
I did too, but we can save it.
I was like,
because I watched them all in succession. I need to watch 10 again, so that's perfect for me.
Oh,
but let's talk about liberal chokehold.
All right, so this was the episode where the show's future was in jeopardy, and Bash and the ladies search for creative ways to drum up cash. And so basically, Bash was cut off.
Mm-hmm. For spending too much.
For spending too much. Yeah, and for trying to launch this thing, and his mom cut him off. And she eventually
caved
in, but that was later on in the show. And so the girls had to do basically a car wash.
Yeah. But they only made like $200.
And it was like, that's not enough. Because they went and looked at the venue. This is when we got Brooke Hogan.
Right.
They went and looked at the venue.
And I really like how they put that, the realism in there about looking for a venue, because people don't realize, for these small indie shows and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
you know, finding a venue is not easy, because you have to sell yourself, like what you're trying to present.
Yeah.
And just because you could say you could put X amount of people in there, you got insurance that's involved, you got, are you going to tear my shit up, is what owners look at. So I like that they incorporated the realism in and they didn't kind of skim over that part. I like that all of that was in there, and the lady was skeptical. She's like, oh, that's the show, the fuck? Like, I don't know about that shit.
That was a nice venue, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then they couldn't really get that venue because they needed, what, $9,000? $9,000.
Back in the day, that was a lot of money. Yeah. Now that's chunky.
They needed $9,000 to book this venue. And they was going to hold it. And then they ended up losing it because they just really couldn't get the money right then and there. And then Sebastian was like, well, shit, my mom's having a fundraiser. It's going to be a whole bunch of rich people there. Well, how about we go there as a women's group that found wrestling after being abused or doing drugs or whatever and stuff like that.
They basically cut promos, sir.
Yeah, they did. And then they cut some pretty good. Oh, Ruth cut the best promo, obviously. Oh, she got it because she went and did a shoot. Mm-hmm. I was about to say she shot.
She shot.
Yeah. When she did a shoot, when she apologized to Debbie and everything for what she did to her, sleep with her husband and everything, and how it affected their friendship and stuff. And then, you know, she also admitted that she was like a drug addict or whatever, which that part was fake. But she's talking about how she did drugs or whatever. And then they end up getting a bunch of checks. And then his mom ended up taking those checks because she was like, you know what, that's fraud. You can't do that.
You just can't do that.
But then she ended up allowing him to use one of her ballrooms that she owned, like from a hotel, I guess. I don't know what the fuck she owned. But anyway, go. They got to use their ballroom, which set up the next episode for episode 10. And we'll do that next week. But all these were good episodes, and glad we got a season 2. Getting a season 2. Can't wait. Hopefully, we will be able to see the season 2. Because Netflix, in their struggles, they're going to lose Disney. Which kind of hurts my feelings, because I'm not getting the Disney streaming service. Yeah, no. I'm not doing it. And it's going to hurt my soul, because I love the Defenders. That has been a good series. Daredevil. I can't wait till The Punisher comes out. Like, all these, they got such good series. But I'm like, I'm not going to pay for another streaming service. Just not. Watch how I fuck around and get it, though. Now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do that ass like I do Stars. Because I don't watch Stars at all. The only reason why I get on Stars is to watch Power. So once Power is over, I'm canceling my shit. And then I'm moving on. And then I'll be back next year.
Then Disney wants to try to buy WWE. Shit.
Fuck you, man.
Shit.
Fuck you, man. Anyway, that's it for this week's The Raw, The Bad, The Ugly. Be sure to check out 1515 Nav and all of the content. Be sure to rate, subscribe, review to the podcast. You can catch us on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. If you type in 1515 Nav, you will see podcasts such as the MWT Podcast, Love and Hip Hop, The Rundown, Equal Opposites, Studio Flow, Lace Them Up, Mac and D Talk TV, and of course the GTS and RBU Podcast. If you just type in Wrestling Roundtable, RASSLIN Roundtable, you will find the GTS and RBU Podcast, along with our pay per view podcast. Also, click on the Amazon banner. Go support the site when you go there. Purchase anything, we would greatly appreciate it. And with that said, it's me, Stuart Pro.
It's Miller.
And we out.